Well, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 13. You know, a lot of times on Wednesday nights, we do what I call a microscopic study of the Word, where we go verse by verse, word by word sometimes. But then there's times like tonight, we're going to do what I call a telescopic overview. Because quite frankly, a lot of the things that we're looking at doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people here, but I think there's some value in looking at an overview of what God was doing for the children of Israel. And so what we're going to do tonight is actually cover chapters 13 through 19. I know, take a deep breath. You say, he can't do that. Yes, he can. Under the Spirit of the Lord, I can do it. But really, I just want you to see just kind of an overview of Israel and what God has done. And so that's what it's going to be like tonight, okay? So we're going to put up a map right now, and I'm going to show you all the 12 tribes of Israel. And what you're going to see is these are the 12 tribes. Then as we go through, we'll zero in on each one a little bit and kind of highlight some things and kind of walk you through the Bible. And just by looking at the tribes of Israel and to see what God has done, what he will be doing. And if you're in the back, you can't see this. It's okay to stand up, you know, embrace your humanity, walk to the front, sit right here so you can see it all clearly if you need to get a better vision and to help us out. Okay? You cowards, you're not moving. But I see you squinting back there. But let's turn to Joshua chapter 13. And I want to thank Pastor Rick. Can we thank Pastor Rick for the last couple of weeks as he's been just leading us through the Word? I appreciate you clapping because that way I don't have to pay him any money. But I appreciate that, and he's a good man. I love him dearly. Father, as we do kind of a telescopic look at the land that you promised the nation of Israel, the tribes, would you just take some of these gems and personalize them for us? And we thank you for that tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a really sobering verse to read. You ready? Verse 1. Now Joshua was old. He was advanced in years. And the Lord did not lie to Joshua. He said, you're old. You're advanced in years. And there remains very much land yet to be possessed. I love this verse. You know why? The best is yet to come. I don't know where we've gotten this lie from that retirement is a part of our life. I've been looking for 35 years for the word retirement in the Bible. I haven't found it. I see reassignment. I see that a lot. I see just great things ahead that God has for us, and I see that for all of us. But we need to embrace who we are. You know, as long as we live, we're going to get old. That doesn't mean you have to be ancient. You can be open and to see what God is doing. At this point, you know, he's about 100 years old. I think God is accurate when he says, yeah, you're old. 100 years, you know. Did you see this last week? There's a guy in Israel, he's 112. You know, he survived Auschwitz. And, you know, what I love about these folks that are still living that have survived all that stuff, this is what they all say. That event didn't mark us. That just was an event in my life. But that doesn't mark me. And I love that. And so here he is. He says, Joshua, there's some things still yet to be done. Some things you should participate in. Some things you should just guide people. And that's the same thing for us. I was sharing with some pastors today in an email that I'm hoping that some of them will join me and start traveling around the world with me. I want them to go with me because these pastors have such treasures that God has given them. And I said, listen, guys, it says in Numbers chapter 8, verse 23 down to verse 26, says, listen, when you guys turn 50, you should spend the rest of your life training guys that are 25 to 50 in ministry. That's what you should be doing, giving away what God has given to you. And Joshua realizes, you know what, there's a lot in me. And there's a lot to be done. What do you mean? Well, this is the land that yet remains. All the territory of the Philistines and all that from the Geshurites, from Sihor, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron, northward to which is counted as Canaanite. And there's the five lords of the Philistines. And I want to read these because you're going to hear these guys in the next several years if the Lord tarries. You're going to hear about these five capitals, these five kings from the Gazites, the Ashdodites, the Eshcolites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites. And also there was the Avites from the south and all the land of the Canaanites from the Merah that belongs to the Sidonians as far as Aphek. That was a powerful place where David would meet for war. And God used him in a great way there. To the border of the Amorites and to the land of the Gebalites and all the way to Lebanon, to the north, okay? Toward the sunrise. He's saying, listen, expand your borders from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon, which is to the north, as far as the entrance of Hamath and all the inhabitants of the mountains of Lebanon, as far as the brook Mesbra and the Sidonians, and them I will drive out from before the children of Israel, only divided up by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide the land as its inheritance to the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. And so God is just saying, listen, this is what you're going to get from me. You're going to get all these things. You know, Mount Hermon's up here, and you're going to go down the coast, and you're going to get all these things. But now he's going to say, remember these tribes over here. Remember, this is the east side. This is the west side. And remember, these tribes over here, they made a deal with Moses. They said, listen, we're people of cattle, and this is great for our cattle. Can we just stay in this area right here? And Moses says, well, I don't know that you should really dishearten the rest of the guys. He said, well, we don't want to dishearten them. We'll do what you want us to do. He says, okay, you can leave your women. You can leave your kids. You can leave the elderly. But you mighty men must go with us. And once the campaign's over, you can come back. Okay, we'll talk about it in a little bit. So Joshua is, again, reminded by the Lord which areas are which. So with the other half tribe, the Reubenites and the Gadites, they received their inheritance, which Moses had given them beyond the Jordan. Here's the Jordan River. So these areas, what we're talking about right here. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given them from Aor, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and this is over in these areas, here's these rivers and all these kinds of things. And I'm just going to highlight, I'm not going to read every verse tonight, okay? But he says all the way down to verse 11, he says, I'm going to give you Gilead. Now, Gilead is a name that you're going to hear a lot about, okay? It's mentioned over 100 times. And Gilead is in this area right over here. And it's really, really important because it keeps, you know, there's Jabesh Gilead. We'll talk about that later on. But it says all this area is for you, all the way up to Mount Hermon, you know? Right there is Mount Hermon. You can go skiing there. They're skiing there right now, as a matter of fact. There's actually, you know, a place to ski there. We were there last week. I didn't ski, but I'm just telling you, you could. And so all the way up to these areas. But look at verse 13. But nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Gershurites or the Maacathites, but the Gershurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. And you're going to read this a couple of times. What's God saying? You need to trust him to completely be obedient. To completely, you know, if you're just partially obedient, you're really still being what? Disobedient, you know? And it really will catch up with you in time. And those of us that like to do the cliff notes of life, you know, God says, no. Just go for it. Read the whole book, all right? How many of you are cliff note people in school? Be honest. God will forgive you. I was. Yeah, sure you were. Yeah, I was. Well, actually, I wasn't even cliff note people. I was just basically a cheater. I just happened to date a very, very intelligent woman who I married later on. This is really kind of side notes, but I remember when I was my senior year, one of my teachers said, he wrote on my paper, tell Robin, you know, because they knew we were dating, tell Robin she did a great job on this paper. He actually wrote that on my paper. Gave her an A, gave me a C, you know. Your sins will find you out. So, but you know, go for it, or else it'll come back and get you. But only the tribe of Levi, he had given no inheritance. Remember the Levites, they were the religious people, so they were his inheritance. And so they weren't going to get a portion of land. They were actually going to get 48 cities spread out over these areas, okay? So they would be taken care of, and God would take care of them. Well, then he goes on to talk about the children of Reuben. And so here's the children of Reuben. What's interesting, look at how small this is. That's interesting. You know why? Because Reuben was the firstborn. Reuben was the firstborn. Well, why was his area so small? A couple things. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. When Reuben wasn't a tribe, he was a son. And you may recall in Genesis chapter 35, verse 22, it says this. Let me read it for you in case you have memorized that verse, okay? But it simply says this. And it happened when Israel, speaking of the man, went in the land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard about it, okay? He sinned against his father. He sinned against the land. So what did Israel do? Well, in Genesis chapter 49, that's where, you know, Jacob brings his sons in and he prophesies over them. This is what he says. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power, but you're unstable as water. You shall not excel. Why? Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it, and he went up to my couch. He said, I can't trust you. So I can't trust you with a lot either. Which is tragic because in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 7, that's where Moses tells us that the firstborn is supposed to get a double portion. But he fails in that area. And so these are the areas that he has on in his area. But a couple of cities here that I want you to be noted. In verse 20, it says that he also got Beth Peor. That may sound kind of familiar. That's where, remember Balaam was that prophet that was hired to just say, hey, this is how you can destroy these people. But at the end, all the curses that he couldn't curse, God just kept blessing. Well, finally, and this is in Numbers around chapter 24, he says, listen, here's the deal. You can't break them this way, but maybe you should send your daughters in and lay with them. And that's exactly what happened in this place, Beth Peor. The slopes of Pisgah. Pisgah is where Moses was, Mount Nebo. You know, in this whole area right here. And so we're looking at this. And so he goes, listen, you're going to get the slopes of Pisgah. But also note this. Down at verse, I will get it later, but verse 22. So the children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, among those who were killed by them. So as we were going through the book of Numbers, we got to the end of chapter 24, and it says, and Balaam went his way, and the king went the other way. What happened to this guy? You know what? God will take care of what he needs to get taken care of. Be patient. Be patient. So years later, after the battles are over, they're divided up the land, guess what? They went after him. They went after him, and they dealt with it, okay? It's amazing that God is faithful to his word. Well, verse 23, and the border of the children of Reuben was from the bank of the Jordan, okay? So here's the Jordan River. All right, and it describes, it starts here, and here's River Arnon down here, and it goes through these areas, and this was the inheritance. Then we also have the tribe of Gad, Egad, okay? So here's the tribe of Gad, okay? It's kind of in the middle of these two and a half tribes that are over here. So here's Gad, and there's some cities in this area that also is important to consider. You may recall Succoth, which is right over here. This is a place where when Jacob came back and he began, remember he met with his brother Esau, and they thought, oh no, what's going to happen? And Jacob was kind of crafty. So first he sends, you know, he sends a couple of the other ladies first. Then he sends weak eyes, Leah, and then he sends his favorite, you know. But he has this wonderful encounter. And then his brother says, you must come with me. He says, oh no, I think I'll just wait here a while. The kids are tired. The cattle are tired. Well, he just spends some time in Succoth. Then he goes over to Shechem, which he shouldn't have done. Because when he gets to Shechem, his only daughter gets raped. Okay, but this, so you can just kind of see some of these areas, okay? But also, it also gives us the first description of a wonderful sea. He says also, if you look down to verse 27, we see the name Succoth, but we also see the Sea of Chinnereth, okay? The Sea of Chinnereth, that is the Sea of Galilee. Now, when you look at the Sea of Galilee, Chinnereth is the Hebrew word for harp. That's exactly how the Sea of Galilee is. It's shaped like a harp. So here's that introduction to their borders right there. And so now we have, you know, these descriptions. Well, let's go to verse 29. And Moses had also given an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh. And it was the half-tribe of Manasseh, the children of Manasseh, according to their families. And they get like 60 cities to the north, okay? They get all this area. This is known as the area of Bashan. And, you know, it's great cattle country. They get all that area. They get half of Gilead in this whole area in here. You know, Ramoth-Gilead, Jabesh-Gilead. As I mentioned, Gilead is mentioned over 100 times. It's a pretty popular place in Scripture, okay? So they have some stuff there. But as we come to chapter 14, now we're going across to the other side. Now we're going to be dealing with these tribes in these areas on the west side, okay? Now how do they decide who gets what? Chapter 14, verse 1. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar, he's the priest. So we have what? We have the spiritual leader, but we also have the general, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributing as an inheritance. And this is what began to happen. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for these 9.5 tribes. And in Jewish tradition, they say this is how it was decided. They would take the right hand, and they would pick out a lot which would describe the tribe, and they would take their left hand at the same time, and that would decide the portion of the land. So this was the tribe, this was the land, okay? And some of you are thinking, wow, I wonder if I should live my life that way. You know what? The New Testament does not affirm that at all. Matter of fact, the last time that's used is in Acts, when they're trying to find a replacement for Judas, okay? But really, you know, we have the Holy Spirit in us. He will guide us. He will direct us. And even then, you know, they thought that it was really something clever they were doing. But listen to what Proverbs 16:33 says. It says, listen, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Okay? So it may have been Eleazar's fingers in the pot, but it was God guiding those fingers. Okay? It's the same way. Let's just trust in the Lord with all of our decisions and trust him for the completion of what he wants to do in our life. By the way, the book of Joshua talks more about lots than any other book of the Bible. So hopefully you'll get your fix of Lot and we'll get over it. Okay, have a latte. So let's continue on with this tribe. So they got a lot of land. But let's go to verse 6 of chapter 14. Then the children of Judah, they came to Joshua in Gilgal. Now remember, Gilgal is kind of like their central station. It's actually located right, here's Jericho, it's right over here. So that's kind of like home base for them, all right? That's where the campaign, so we've talked about, you know, Gilgal, it's the place of rolling. It's the place where they first were circumcised, that, you know, in the new land. And so now they're meeting in Gilgal, so that's kind of central. Well, when they get there, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came and he spoke to him. Now stop right there for a moment. What's important about this passage is simply this. We see a wonderful picture of God's incredible grace. Because when you begin to look at some of these people that he's talking about here, for example, Caleb's heritage is mentioned. And these people, the Kenizzites, were actually people that were from Canaan. So in reality, there was a time when his heritage would say, you are to be destroyed. But somehow his family gets connected with the people of God in Egypt and it saves his life. As a matter of fact, you may be here tonight and you're feeling like, my family name is Mud. We know where that comes from, right? Because of the guy that helped save the guy that shot Lincoln. But you know what? Nobody is beyond the reach of God. Nobody. We saw that, you know, the book of Ruth. What's it share with us? God's grace. God's mercy. We see all these pictures of what God will do if we will just surrender. Uriah, he was the husband of Bathsheba, okay? He was known as one of David's mighty men, but he was a Hittite. And the Hittites were not people of God, but yet God can reach into every single family and save you. He really can. So don't let the enemy lie to you at all and think that you're beyond hope, that God can't do a great work in your life, because he will and he does. And so here Caleb shows up and they're about to distribute the land of Judah in just a little bit, but he says, listen. He says in verse 6, he says, you know the word that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea, okay? And that was when they were in this lower area right here. Remember when we were down there and Caleb was one of the 12 spies, okay? Caleb and Joshua were the only two of the 12 spies that lived, all right? The other 10 died because of their faithlessness. But he says, remember what it was like, verse 7. I was 40 years old. Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. He says, I spoke from my heart. These other guys spoke from what they saw. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me and made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land which your foot has trod shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have what? Wholly followed the Lord my God. He was not a partial obedience guy, right? And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day. I'm 85 years old. That's wonderful. He says, and as yet I'm as strong this day as I am the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, don't give me plaid shorts, black socks that come to my knees, sandals with buckles on them, and radial tread on the bottom of it. Don't give me that stuff. I'm not going to spend the days at the beach watching the sun go down. No. Therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim, the giants, were there. And the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. He's trusting God's word. And so Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron, okay? Hebron, by the way, is probably the most important city in the Old Testament until David takes Jerusalem. A lot of Christians don't even know about Hebron. It's the most important city in the Old Testament before David takes Jerusalem. It's where Abraham was. It's where many of our patriarchs were buried, okay? It's where David was first reigning in that area. And Caleb says, give me Hebron. I want that place. I know the giants are there, but I can take them. And Joshua blessed and gave him Hebron. So Hebron, verse 14, therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Why? Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the land had rest from war. But that was just one person in the tribe of Judah. Well, now he begins to talk about the tribe of Judah. And so it was, verse 1 of chapter 15, the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. And so again, it says, let's talk about what's going to happen here. Now, if you notice carefully, you'll see something about Judah. Both in the middle map, in the middle one here, you'll see, can you go back one to where this is all the tribes, if you can do that? What you'll see is that Judah, that's not it. There you go. See how much land Judah has? They've got the largest of all the tribes. Now, why? Well, back when Jacob was, thank you, you can go back to where we are. When Jacob was blessing his sons, listen to what he said to Judah. He says, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. You guys are going to go for it. He says, your father's children shall bow down before you. Why? Because Judah is a lion's whelp. For the prey, my son, you have gone up. He says he bows down, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, whom shall rouse him? And the scepter shall not depart from Judah. It goes on to say, you're the one that's going to be the... And of course, we have a lot of great people that come through that line, amen? And so he says, this is your borders, chapter 15. Verse 1, he says, you're going to begin to have a large border. He says, you're going to go from the wilderness of Zin, which is the southern area, you know, in these areas. He goes on to say this, and your borders are going to expand all the way over to what's called the Salt Sea. We know it as the Dead Sea today, but it's called the Salt Sea. And as you go through this from Kadesh Barnea, you know, all the way to the south, and the borders will be all over the place. And there's some other cities. Look at verse 7. The border went up to Debir from the Valley of Achor. We talked about the Valley of Achor. It's way up here. Remember, that's where they call it, you troubler, okay, because of Achan, all right? So you can see it's going to go all the way down south, all the way up here. The borders are going to be large. Gilgal, we've talked about Gilgal quite a bit. You know, you'll go there to the ascents of Adullam. Other cities that you'll hear about. Verse 8, and the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the southern slope of the Jebusite city, which is known as Jerusalem. We know that today is the valley of Gehenna, okay? So it's going to go all the way and even describes in Jerusalem because Jerusalem's right on a border, okay? It says, listen, you're going to be right there on the border of Benjamin and Judah. It's going to be powerful what you're going to see there, okay? You'll be there in that area. Also, it's going to go to the west, to Kiriath Jearim, verse 9, and we talked about that. That was part of the area where the Gibeonites, we talked about the war of Gibeon, and they went, there's Gibeon, okay, and they kind of routed the guys, and they when after, you know, Joshua says, Lord, you know, cause the sun to stand still, right, and the moon. And so the battle started here in Gibeon, but ran all the way down here in these areas, because your border's going to you know, go all the way across, all the way over to the ocean, okay? Later on in this same verse, it mentions a place called Beth Shemesh and passed on to Timnah. Those are areas that you'll hear a lot about in the book of Judges. For example, you know, after the ark has been taken, okay, remember that? You know, the guy falls over, breaks his neck, okay, and then the ark is taken, the Philistines. Well, when the ark is sent back, it's finally sent back into this valley called Beth Shemesh, and that's where they find the ark, and they take it back in and begin there. But Timnah, that's the area where Samson was going up and down the mountains, okay? Also, your border, verse 12, is going to go all the way to the Great Sea. This is considered the Great Sea, okay, the Mediterranean Sea, all right? The Salt Sea, the Great Sea. And so you have all these areas. Well, right about then, verse 13, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Hebron, okay? And what did he do? Verse 14, he's 85 years old, right? He's not at the beach, you know, looking for metal. No, he's going to the mountains. So what did he do? Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak, his three biggest sons. He took those guys out. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Got a diamond? No, just kidding. Wrong name. So then he went out to Kiriath Sepher. And Caleb said, he who attacks Kiriath Sepher and takes it, to him I will give Aksah, my daughter, as wife. So what happens? So Ethniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, or his nephew, he took it and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, as a wife. He fulfilled his word. By the way, You're going to come back to this guy. When we get to the book of Judges at this rate, maybe 3 years, but when we get there, we're going to be introduced to him because he's one of the 12 judges. This man, Othniel, he's the one that really, you know, gives the people a victory because, again, they're rebelling against God. And so God has to just really discipline the people. So he brings the king of Mesopotamia all the way over, but Othniel rises up, the Spirit of the Lord comes on him and leads him in great victory. And so, verse 18, now it was so when she came to him, the daughter, okay, Caleb's daughter, she came to her husband and says, listen, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, well, honey, what do you wish? Every little girl has her father wrapped around his finger, right? What do you wish? Well, she answered, give me a blessing. All right. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. And then we go on to list the great cities of Judah. We have the cities that are in the south listed here. Cities like Beersheba, you've heard of that. Ziklag, why is Ziklag important? This is right here. Ziklag is important because that's the city where David and his mighty men were discouraged after being told they can't go to battle. So they come back home and everything they had been really taken from them. Their wives were taken, the city was burned, all these kinds. And David's men wanted to turn on David and to kill him. And that's where he prayed and God moved in a powerful way in his life and restored him and his men back to a position of leadership. So that's called Ziklag. By the way, when we get there, here's Ziklag down here. But that battle where they were supposed to battle was way up here in this area. And so at the beginning of this story that I'm talking about in 1 Samuel, David and his men were the last guys to show up for the battle. And you read a lot of commentaries that really have some crazy ideas because sometimes writers of commentaries, they just don't look at maps and so they have to figure out, you know, well, maybe David psychologically didn't want to fight the Jews. That's why he came up late, because he would have been fighting his brothers. Just all these kinds. No, here's the problem. David and his men had the farthest distance to travel. That's why they were late. You know, the Bible's real practical if you just read it slowly and say, wait a second, these other guys were up here. David had to come all the way from here up there. And so we'll discover that when we get to that study. And so we have all these cities in the highlands and the lowlands. Verse 33, Eshtol and Zorah, again, we'll read about Samson in this area when we get to that part of the book of Judges. In verse 35, Adullam, okay? Some of you have heard of the cave of Adullam, okay? That's where David and his mighty men were hiding in the cave and Saul was looking for them, okay? That's the area we're looking at there. So we have this whole area right here is what we're talking about, your Beth Shemesh. Gath, have you heard of Gath? Okay? know, big guy came from there, all right? He was defeated. These areas were from there, okay? Also, as we continue to go down, Ashdod, okay? So we had Ashdod. Here's the Gaza Strip today. So, you know, Judah had the coast. They had the desert. You know, they had all these areas. It was a huge area. They had mountains. They had it all, okay? And so they were given all these cities. Now, verse 55, it names Maon and Carmel. You know, those are cities you know about. How many of you heard the story of Abigail and Nabal? Nabal, his name means what? Fool, right? Okay. And so that's the area, you know, in this area where they were. It's a little south of here. Some of you, I think last year, I think I took some of you there. We saw the fields and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of great cities that are listed in this area and all these villages. Also, look at verse 62. One of my favorite places in all Israel to go, it's called Engedi, okay? And Engedi is right here. It's like an oasis on the Dead Sea. There's waterfalls, there's lustres. Like I said, if you were here Sunday, I showed you some beautiful pictures. It's just it's a great place for King David. I can just imagine him taking one of his wives for the weekend. Okay, let's just get out of here. And there's great places to swim. There's a great little pool there. Well, actually several little pools you can swim in. You have to go sometime. Anyways, verse 63. But as for the Jebusites and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. They just didn't finish the job. Chapter 16. So the lot fell to the children of Joseph. Now Joseph, remember, his portion was divided into his two sons. Remember his first son's name was Manasseh. It means to take the sting out or help me to forget the bad things in my past. That's why he named him Manasseh. And then his other son named Ephraim because of the blessing God had given him. He says, well, now his portion is the lot fell on this portion. And so they had from Jericho, all right, and in this area right here. And so we have Manasseh up here, Manasseh over here, but also we're dealing with these areas. But from Jericho to the waters of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goes up from Jericho, to the mountains of Bethel. We've heard of Bethel, right? We talked about Ai or I and Bethel. We've talked about when Abraham came in there. We talked about Jacob having a dream, you know, the angels, all these areas. So a lot of great stuff happens there. So verse 4, so the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, they took their inheritance. But now we're looking at the land of Ephraim, okay? Here's Ephraim. That's the other brother, okay? Look at places they've got. They've got Shiloh. That's huge. Shiloh is the main worship center. The Talmud, which is some Jewish writings, don't worry about it, but they suggest that the tabernacle was there for over 360 years until, you know, things changed, until they lost the ark, till things happened. Then David finally moves the main worship from Shiloh to Jerusalem, okay? So here they got the blessing of having this particular area called Shiloh, okay? Other things they have Jericho in that area. But look at verse 10. But they also didn't drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites to this day, but have become forced laborers. Well, as we come to chapter 17, we've already talked about the tribe of Manasseh on the east side, but now we're moving on up to the west side, okay? So they're also given, if you look at verse 1 of chapter 17, they're also given parts of Gilead and Bashan. And the rest was a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh according to their families. And it begins to list their families. But look at verse 3. This is a story you may remember as we were going through together as we were studying the book of Numbers. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, okay, big guy, he was the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, who was the son of Manasseh. But he had no sons, but only daughters. And these are the names of his daughters. He could have done better on that one. Well, Noah, could have done Hogla. You know, how would you like to be named that, ladies? You know, and they weren't married, apparently. Their names could give you a hint. But anyways, and so they came, verse 4, to Eleazar, the priest, and to Joshua. And they said, wait a second. When Moses was around, the Lord commanded Moses to give us our inheritance among the brothers. Therefore, according to the command of the Lord, he gave them the inheritance to their fathers and their brothers, And these lands. And so guess what Joshua does? He honors the Lord and his word. And so they begin to get great cities. One of the cities that that they get, you're going to hear a lot about, is a place called Beit Shan. See it right here? And Beit Shan has a lot of history to it. For example, probably the most well-known things that happens there is when Saul is killed in his final battle, he and his sons are hung on the walls of Beit Shan. They cut their heads off. And then the people from Jabesh Gilead, they come over to Beit Shan and they take these guys down. Now, why do these guys, why would they put their life on the line when none of the other 12 tribes would be willing to do that? Because 40 years before Saul was killed, this is the first people that he led to save when he was a king. They didn't forget 40 years later what he'd done for them as a young man. I want to tell you something. And when he did that as a young man, it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me just give you the simple lesson. Those things you do under the leading of the Holy Spirit will never be forgotten. Those things you do in the flesh may make you, you know, famous. You may have great fortunes, but who cares compared to what the Spirit does that changes people's lives? And 40 years later, no one else cared, but these guys came. They put their lives on the line because a Spirit-filled young man named Saul, who was out looking for his father's donkeys, his life was changed. By the way, Saul and David, you know why their lives were changed? Because they woke up in the morning and they said this, I wonder what my father has for me today. What if we woke up every morning and said, I wonder what my father has for me today? It could change your life. It changed Saul's life. It changed David's life just by being obedient to the Father in the morning. So they got Beit Shan. They also got a place called Endor, okay? You know, Endor, that also connects with the story I just told you, because the night before Saul was killed in battle, what did he do? He went to the witch of Endor, okay? And it's kind of tragic, but Endor, let's keep reading. And we're in verse 11 in case you're trying to follow along. You may not, maybe you're just to listen, okay? But let's read verse 11. And in Issachar and Asher, Manasseh had Beit Shan and its towns, Iblim and its towns, the inhabitants of Dor and its towns, the inhabitants of Endor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Tanakh and its towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and its three hilly regions. And we're talking about the Valley of Armageddon. And in this region, there's one mountain, and it's where three famous stories take place. We have the story of the woman or the witch at Endor takes place on this little hill. On the other side of the hill is a place called Nain. What happened there? Jesus came to Nain and a widow had lost her son. He prayed for her and her son was brought back to life. On the other side of this little hill was another woman. She was a Shunammite. And she's the one that built a place for the prophet. And so three great works of God through women that marked lives were taking place in this area. And so this tribe got the blessing we have in those areas. But look at verse 12 again. Hear this over and over. What? Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities. But the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land, and it happened that when the children of Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Well, continuing on, more land for Ephraim and Manasseh. Well, the children of Joseph, verse 14, spoke to Joshua. Okay, now the kids, you know, these two, you know, brothers who are now two tribes, they said, listen, why have you given us only one lot, one share to inherit, since we are a great people, as much as the Lord has blessed us until now? They're whining about what God just gave them. Now, when you're about 100 years old, you're kind of over the whining, all right? Listen to Joshua. He says, listen, if you're a great people, then go up and clear the forest country. Clear the place for yourself. They're in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. He says, hey, put on your big boy pants. There's lots there for you. Well, they came back. They said, well, the mountain country is not enough for us. All the Canaanites dwell in the land and in the valley, and they have chariots of iron. But those are in Beit Shan, its towns, and those are the Valley of Jezreel. Again, when you're old and you've lived life, that doesn't cut it. He says, wait a second. You are a great people, and you have a great power. You shall not have only one lot, But the mountain country shall be yours. Although it's wooded, you shall cut it down. And its farthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. And I believe there's a lot of believers today that are making excuses instead of living in the victorious life that God wants. Know who you are in Christ. Know who you are. I say this in love, but stop your whining and go for it. Well, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they assembled together in Shiloh. We talked about that. They set up the tabernacle, the meeting there. And in the land was subdued before them. But look at verse 2. Again, the continuation of a sad story. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not received their inheritance. I wonder how many of us get saved and get over it. How many of us get saved and get comfortable? And we never receive the fullness that God has for us. Because we just get complacent and comfortable. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell. You're secure in Christ. But you're just getting ripped off, quite frankly. There's so much more that God has for you. And Joshua said to these children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? How long are you going to be complacent? Pick out from among yourself three men of each tribe. Go out, verse 5, and they shall divide it among the seven parts. And so they went out and they came back with the reports, verse 8. Well, then the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went out to survey the land, saying, listen, go walk through the land, survey it, come back to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went out, and they came back, and Joshua did what he said he would do. So now they're dividing up what's left. Verse 11 of chapter 18. Now the lot of the tribe of the Benjamin came up according to their families. And again, we see as we look at the map, you know, what Benjamin got, this little area here. By the way, see this word Gibeon here? That's where the battle was. Well, right over here is a place called Gibeah. That's where Saul was kind of hanging out. And I want you to see something. When David becomes king, okay, they crown him in Hebron. He was king over the 10 tribes to the south. But the other tribe, the two tribes to the south, but the 10 tribes of the north, after Saul's death, says, we want to make peace with you. So listen to what, look at what David does. He's genius. He moves the capital from Hebron to Jerusalem. Where do you see Jerusalem right here? It's right on the border of what? Benjamin, which is where Saul was from. See, he's brilliant. He says, I'm going to reign from a neutral place. I'm going to honor Saul, but this is going to be where God's going to move us from. What a brilliant leader he was. So, verse 14. Then the border extended from the west side to the hill that was before Beth Horon southwards until it came to Kiriath Jearim. And Kiriath Jearim there in verse 14, that's where the ark rests until David moves it into the city of Nob. And eventually Jerusalem, okay? So they got that honor there, okay? Where is it? Verse 15, it's on the south side, began the end of Kiriath Jearim, okay? And they've got also, it goes down, if you look at verse 16, they go down to the valley of the son of Hinnom, okay? The valley of Hinnom, in that area, which is by the Jebusite city. So they're connecting inside Jerusalem. We see some wonderful towns there that God has given them. Bethel, Gibeon, Ramah, as you go down to verse 25, Jerusalem, and also these other cities. Now we come to chapter 19. Didn't think I'd get there, but we did. And the second lot came out for Simeon. Now, something about Simeon, where's his lot? Because Judah has all this. That's too much. So they give Simeon inside of Judah, okay? All right? They get, you know, Ziklag. We talked about Ziklag. Beersheba, okay, to the that. Arad, some of you guys, I think you've heard me tell the story about Dave Bruno and Pastor Pete, the camel going down and falling out like Bambi. Okay, that was in Arad right there, okay? A sight I'll never forget. Okay, on my deathbed, if you see my coffin shaking, I'm just thinking about Arad, okay? It was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. Anyways, back to the Bible. Verse 9. The inheritance of the children of Simeon was included in the share of the children of Judah for the one other story horror there. One night we're in there, and we're in this Bedouin tent. And there's these kittens. And Dennis isn't here tonight, but Dennis McGowan, he's sound asleep. And all of a sudden, I hear this, meow. He thought it was a poor little kitty cat, okay? This cat had got on his chest. He thought it was a rat. And I hear this, meow. I look up and see this kitten flying, meow. But again, I have great memories of you kitten lovers. I'm so thankful they have nine lives, aren't you? Okay, here we go. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance. Yay, them. Now, verse 10. So the third lot came to the children of Zebulun according to their families, and they got some really good stuff. Look at verse 13. And from there was passed along east of them to Gath-Hepher. Gath-Hepher, what's so special about that place? Well, there's an attitude that a certain prophet has. His name was Jonah. Okay, that's where Jonah was from. Okay, what's interesting is where this area is that he's from is located. I'll see if we keep it on a map here. I don't see it on here. I'm probably looking right at it. But the point is that here Jonah is supposed to be faithful to God. And Jonah is living in this area, okay? And God says, I want you to go to Nineveh, which is way over here. Where does Jonah go? He goes down to Joppa. That's why he has an attitude. And he gets on a ship and he wants to go to England or Italy. Well, you would too, you know, if you wanted to go to, you know. But anyways, you know, see, he's just a guy with an attitude, all right? And that's the area called the Galilee. And so Gath-Hepher, that's there. And also, let's go to verse 17. Then there's the fourth lot that came out of Issachar. For the children of Issachar came according to their families. And they got places like, verse 22, Tabor. I talked about Endor, the Shunammite. It's all in the same area, okay? Mount Tabor, right in this area, okay? The Jezreel Valley of Armageddon, okay, in this area. So that's what they got. Beth Shemesh, again, that's where the ark was returned to the people of God. Remember the oxen walked the ark back, and they found it and dealt with it there, okay? That's there. Then we have the land of Asher, okay? And Asher is interesting because one of the things that was prophesied about Asher in Deuteronomy is that it would be wealthy. And a lot of people think prophetically about oil. And so there's been a lot of money spent on trying to find oil in Asher. Well, the reality is it was fulfilled because there's all these port cities here where the oil is brought from the Middle East all the way over there, and so it was fulfilled that way, you know. So it's just a place where the oil comes, okay? But they got some nice places. They got Mount Carmel, okay, verse 26. They also have some bad places. In verse 27, it names a place called Bypassing Kabul, okay? In Kabul, we're going to read about that because that's like a deal that went bad. Solomon gave some land, and he gave this land to Hiram, who was the king, you know, and he gave him Kabul, and the land was so bad, he goes, what is this? You know, you gave me this. Literally, he said this, what kind of cities are these which you have given me, my brother? And he called the name of that land Kabul, as they are to this day, because you couldn't do anything with it, okay? But they got that. But they also got Greater Sidon. So you can see Tyre, okay, Sidon's down here a little bit. They got that area. And also in verse 30, we talk about Aphek. That's where the famous battles took place later on in all their villages. Now we come to chapter 19, verse 32. And then the sixth lot came out to the children of Naphtali, okay? And we see Naphtali here, you know, they're right next to Asher, and they've got some pretty cool places that, but pay particular to this little city right here. I'll talk about that in just a second. But they've got that area, but they also have a piece of Beth Shemesh also. But look at verse 40. Then the seventh lot came out of the tribe of the children of Dan according to their families. Originally, I want you to see what the tribe of Dan was given, okay? And they were given a small portion. It goes right here. Here's the Ajalon Valley. Here's Gibeon. We talked about that. Have the sun stop. And, you know, and Joshua, they went down the Valley of Ajalon and all this area to chase those guys. But this was the original area that was given to Dan, okay? This is important. Oops, this thing keeps coming off. So On the territory of Dan, they got Zor and Ashtaroth. Again, those cities, verse 41, are mentioned a lot in the book of Judges with Samson and his attitude. They went all the way down to Joppa, verse 46. But look at verse 47. And the border of the children of Dan went beyond these because the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem, and they took it. And they struck it with the sword and took possession of it. And they dwelt in it, and they called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan, their father. And listen to this strategic mistake. God gave them this land. This is where their tribe was supposed to be. But they got greedy, okay? Can we go to the bigger map, okay? They got greedy, and they went up here because it was easier. Why is that a problem? Because they're right here on the border. By the way, they're right here on the border, and this is where idol worship was introduced to the children of Israel. These guys did that. It was their mistake. By the way, these guys on this side, was that a good move? No. These were the first tribes to be destroyed by the king of Assyria when they came in. By the way, Gad, we hear about Gad a little bit. There's a story about some pigs. Some pigs went to a guy's, and they were where? They were where the Gadarenes were. Interesting thought. What are Jews doing selling pigs? Okay. You know what? You make a decision today. It may take centuries, but it'll come back and get you later on. Honestly, the decisions you may be making today could affect your great-grandchildren. For good also. For good. I think I shared on, I think it was Sunday. If you see anything good in me or my wife, you got to thank our parents. Because it was our parents that broke the curse of alcoholism, abuse. My mom and dad, Robin's mom and dad said, we're not having any more of that. They'd already seen it in their family. My grandfather on my dad's side, I'm not proud of this, it breaks my heart. My grandfather, who was called to the ministry, but chose to listen to another businessman, said, you know what, you're much better in business than you are in doing that. You should make money for God and donate it. And he bought that lie. My grandfather died on Skid Row in Miami Beach in a flop house. And yet, you can change the next generation. I don't say this with pride. I say this with great thankfulness. I'm glad my mom and dad, I'm glad my wife's mom and dad said, no, it stops now. It stops now. And I'm so thankful that, you know, my sister, my much, much older sister, she's 20 months older than me, you know, she serves the Lord. My brother-in-law loves the Lord. His wife loves the Lord. His kids are real involved in ministry. Our whole family is involved in ministry. We're not speaking out of pride. We're speaking out of thankfulness. You can or you can ruin your family for generations. You can cut the corner. You can say, nah, I don't want to go all the way over. I'll stay over here. I'll be comfortable here. Look at what it cost them. And so they weren't satisfied. Listen to this. They weren't satisfied to stay within their tribe. They were given this land, but they wanted more, and it cost them. Wow, tragically. Well, verse 49, when they had made an end of dividing the land of the inheritance according to their borders, the children of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua, the son of Nun. This is interesting. Why? No other Israelite received an inheritance in this manner. Only Joshua was honored this way. They came and they said, listen, according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked for called Timnath-Serah in the mountains of Ephraim, and he built the city and he dwelt there. Wasn't a well-known place, wasn't a special place, it was to him. And so these were the inheritances which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers and the tribes and the children of Israel divided as inheritance by lot in Shiloh, before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle. So they made an end of dividing the country. Again, I just wanted to do a telescope, but boy, we see a lot of Bible happening within these areas, don't we? And it all started here. And I pray for some of you, your story starts here. For your family. The curse is broken here tonight. The future is here tonight. And maybe you came in tonight and you thought, you know what, I'm kind of happy where I'm at. Hey, listen, Josh, say, there's a whole land out there for you to take. Trust the Lord. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for maps. They bore most of us, God, but we thank you for maps. And we thank you that we can just see your work throughout your word as we just take a few moments just to slow down and read what you've done. And God, though these maps don't mean a whole lot to us today, it's everything. It's everything. As the world is told lies about Israel, calling them occupiers, this was their inheritance from you. And we thank you that you care. We thank you care even tonight also. Jesus, because you first gave, may we also be giving people with our lives, with the gifts you've given us, the talents that we have. God, I pray for those that are working for someone else, may they be the standard of what a good employee looks like, because you taught us how to give, and we thank you for that. Lord, as we stand during this last song, would you also receive from us as we give you our worship towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.